So then you come to opening day. What was that day?
Well, it was a Friday night. As I recollect it, it was July 21st. But since, with the advent of all these electronic gadgets we have, one of my managers a couple of years actually went back and realized July 21st was not a Friday night in July of 75. So while we still celebrate it as our anniversary, that's not the accurate date. It's a couple of days one way or the other. But it was a Friday night. Summer school was about to let out. And we decided, man, we got to get this place open for all the kids to leave. Because back then, you had a spring semester. There was kind of a three-week lull. There wasn't anybody in town. Then they came back for 8 weeks of summer school. Then they all left again. And then it was about 2 or 3 weeks before they came back for the fall semester. So we thought, man, we just got to open. I'm not saying we were particularly ready, but we just felt like we needed to get the place open. I always like to tell this one, too. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. You know, we were too naive to understand that it was illegal to advertise on the state property. So we printed off these handbills, Eskimo Joe's, Stillwater's newest bar, coldest beer this side of Antarctica, 400 watts of free music power. That was one of our real edges. We were going to have music that was part of the ambiance that was free. All the other bars in town, you had to pay a quarter to get the music started. The jukebox was really a great revenue stream, I'm certain, for those operations. But we thought music was an edge and a way to set ourselves apart. So that's kind of what that first flyer said. And there was only one dorm open that year. It was the Wilhelm Complex. We went around and shoved these flyers under every dorm room door, opened at 6 o'clock in the evening. And our special was 10-cent beer all night. So it was 10-cent draw beers for the whole night from 6 till midnight. And, you know, we'd been open a couple hours and the place kind of started jumping. Now, it was only 900 feet, so if you got 20 people in there, it was fairly hopping. If you got 60 people in there, it was wall to wall. So it didn't take a lot of folks to get it going. But our first two nights, Friday and Saturday, with that special, we got a lot of people through the door. A lot of people had a great time. We were spinning great tunes, had it cranked up. You know, we're off and running.
And you were selling only beer, any food at all?
We had some salted snacks. The Frito guy would stop by, and so we had a bag of chips or a bag of nuts or something like that, but no food. We had one pinball machine. It was over in the corner. It was 10 cents a play. We had two foosball tables in the middle of the room, and we had a pool table that was actually a quarter a play, as were the foosball tables. And we would empty the pool and foosball tables every single night because we needed the money. Just to get enough deposited to try to make things go.
What brand of beer did you sign on with early on?
We signed on with Coors. We served Coors Banquet beer. The local distributor's name was Drew Boersma. Boersma Beverage was very good to us. They came in, they ran our beer lines for us, and they really helped us get started, for which I was eternally grateful. I never tapped anything but Coors and then eventually Coors Light until Drew sold the business. And then, even after he sold the business, I stayed completely Coors or Coors Light only until the gentleman that had been supporting us for all the years finally was terminated by the new owner, because the new owner basically did what he did. Drew was a hands-off accountant-type owner, and he had a guy that basically ran the market and was out in the market and was really supporting the accounts directly. Once Jim Slippert left, then we did actually let Budweiser in with some taps, and it just changed the dynamics completely. But for those early days, it was all Coors, and we remained very loyal to them. We sold Budweiser Long Necks. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we had to have some breadth of product offering. But in terms of our taps, and back then it was not all, but it was mostly draft beer.
How many employees did you hire for that opening day?
Zero. Steve and I opened it ourselves, had some of our buddies come down just in case. The most infamous one was a guy by the name of Paul James. Paul was a year younger than we were. He had a brother exactly our age. His name was David. I don't think David came to Oklahoma State, but Paul did. Paul and I had been friends since we were in Bird Junior High. We used to play poker together every week. Just buddies, you know. So he was here. And another one, Dave Buxton, went all the way back, probably clear to grade school. Just some other cronies, you know. Anyway, they came down and they helped us wipe a few tables and whatnot. Again, it's a pretty simple operation. We actually hired our first employee out of the first night's crowd. And I'll never forget this. We'd been open maybe 2.5 hours. And this young lady comes through the front door. The place was so tiny, you can see everybody. And by the time she got about halfway back to the bar, I'm checking her out. I'm kind of punching Steve. I said, hey, maybe this could be our first employee. Very attractive young woman. Anyway, by the time she got back to the bar, I kind of mustered up the courage, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, but would you have any interest in maybe working here? She kind of grinned and looked at me, looked at Steve. She said, yeah, I might go to work for you and Steve, Stan. And I was just taken aback. Come to find out, she was the younger sister of a fellow I'd played basketball with at Byrd in junior high school, and her father had been our coach. The other teammate's name was Doug Knight, and her name is Stacy Knight. So she wasn't intimidated by me or Steve, but I love to tell the story because I tell you, she'd sure changed a lot from grade school. When I was in eighth grade, she would have been in grade school. But anyway, the main reason I like to tell that story so much and have told it so many times was she was the first person we hired, and she worked with us for more than 2 years. So I think that speaks to the fact that I understood that people were going to be the most important part of the business from the get-go. And again, I learned that from my dad. I saw the way he treated his employees, how important those relationships were to him, and then also how he treated his customers and how important those relationships were to him. And then even his suppliers. His suppliers were his best friends. The guys that sold him the construction equipment, they were the most fun people I'd ever been around. Construction equipment sales guys were pretty darn fun guys. So again, my parents' lifestyle, the people I was able to be around, and the fact my parents included me in their lives. Another aspect of my sister being 5 years older that played into all this was that she married very young. So from the time I was in about eighth grade, I was basically an only child because she married and moved out of the house. So I was around older people. I saw how they related to one another. It was exciting to me. I loved my dad's friends. And candidly, they were drinking. My dad bought a pool table when I turned 16. So we had a little bar back there by that pool table. And I kind of was raised doing what I ended up going into business to do, and that was entertain.